Hello, one and all, you're listening to the best of Belfast podcasting on the Bimbo podcast with me, Anthony, and to quote Jason Derulo, I'm riding solo today. Big G has other priorities at the minute, and Sinead doesn't want to do it today, so what can you do? Just me and my Jack Jones. So what I'm going to do, I know you probably don't give a flying fiddlers, but I'll tell you what I've been up to, and hopefully it'll inspire you to go and do some stuff. Do you know what I've noticed? Right, and I've just done it there. See, when you do podcasting, you realise the amount of things people say before they start talking. See the amount of MLAs that say, and these are people who do so much public speaking, and you think they would be better at it, but they seem to have a pause, and then off they go. But I always find that, I don't know if it's strange or maybe unprofessional is the wrong word, but I definitely think that they should be a bit better because they're used to public speaking. But it is what it is. Maybe they're dealing with stuff, you know, they're getting stuff on short notice and they're having to go out to cascade things to the public and they are just trying to think on the spot, and that's what they have to do. So things happen up to. So first week has been pretty alright, to be honest with you. I've drank. I had to stop drinking because I've been drinking for probably about 10 days straight. The amount of alcohol I bought. My brother works on an off license and he finished at 5 o'clock one day. And then it was the day they announced that they were closing all the off license, and he could call back into work. So he fired me a text, said, "What do you want?" So I was like, "Here, get us two cases of Rockshore Cider, couple of bottles of wine, a bottle of Captain Morgan," and wired him the money. Fantastic. Rockshore Cider. Oh my goodness. He works in the off license on Black's Road. See if you can get your hands on some of the Rockshore Cider. Get it. I'm a big cider drinker. I don't drink any beer. I've tried all different types of beer. I just cannot warm the beer. To me, it all just tastes like warm peach. Or cold peach, depending on what way it's consumed. But I love cider. This one is the freshest, easiest, smoothest cider I have ever tasted in my life. And the hangovers are nowhere near as bad as other ones. Normally my cider choice would be Magners or Copperberg, depending. Magners, if I drink quite a bit of Magners, it gives me an absolutely banging headache the next day. Copperberg, I'll be fine. But it isn't as sugary as them. So I would recommend going and getting a bit of Rockshore Cider. I don't know if anybody's that know me. I got a hot tub for Christmas off Santa. I was planning on getting one last year for the back garden when I got all the rest of my garden furniture. Got a wee fire burner and chairs and all that wee table and everything. And I was going to get the hot tub last year, and my dad said to me, he says, "Don't you never know what Santa will get you?" I was like, "Daddy, it is like June or July. You expect me to wait?" The madman had went and bought one in May for me last year, and opened at Christmas, been bossing to use it, and was like, "All right, let's stick it up." Seeing the weather was going to be good, put it on. Had to see the instructions that come in the box. They are the biggest pain of crap. You really, really have to go onto YouTube and watch videos on it, because the instructions are woeful. So got it all set up. Left it to heat for 24 hours. It's like happy days. Sat night before, had a few Long Island iced teas. Absolutely sublime. Get in the hot tub with a big girl. Who needs a honeymoon whenever you have Casa del Colleton? So done the hot tub, absolutely two great days of weather, Saturday and Sunday. And then on the Sunday, the wee man came over from his mum's and he was over the moon. He was like, I don't know, some sort of Shamu, jumping and swirling, and you're sitting there trying to relax and enjoy yourself with a wee tennis header, and he's jumping and frolicking, but he had a great time in it. So that was grand. Done a wee YouTube video with him, 10 things not to do in a hot tub. If you want to watch it, it's Aiden's What's Happening on YouTube. All your kids will probably be bored. Loads of good wee videos on there. AODHAN and then S on the end of it. Aiden's What's Happening. So if you go and watch that, like and subscribe. Try and make us millionaires. Few nights had the weed burner going. Cannot beat a wee fire burner. In work, we had to go in a few days just to lock the place down in case anybody starts rioting or looting or whatever. So everything's locked up and secure. And there was pallets out the back, wooden pallets. And I was like, do you know what? I'm taking some of them. And I said, you know what? I don't care if it's coming up in a couple of months, the bonfire season. I took them. I took them. Although, breaking them up, what did they get? I got, I'd say probably about 12. I actually done it in like three goes. And if the police had to stop me and say to you for anything essential, I'm sitting there each time. I think I had like 4 pallets in the back of the car. Give my dad a couple, give 2 of my cousins a couple, and I kept the rest for myself. But you cannot beat a night just sitting at the wood burner with a wee drink, wee cigar, just loving life. Also with Sinead, we started doing an ab squat and push-up challenge. The ab one started on 100 of each exercise. I'm like, what the fuck? Who starts at 100? Absolute madness. But we've stuck at it, we're doing well. Although all the alcohol I'm drinking, to be honest with you, doing the ab one's probably fucking pointless. But sure, it keeps you sane. Do you know, the other night we actually took a wee Craving for a takeaway and we went on to Just Eat. I know a lot of places aren't on Just Eat, but if you contact them directly, a lot of them are open. So I said, I mean, we'll get something. We ended up getting Nemo's and a Finicky Crossroads. So I was grand, ordered it, came. It said on the app it would take 55 to 70 minutes. I was like, what? But sure, we'll order it anyway. Came. Must have been about half an hour, 40 minutes. Your guy was dead apologetic. He says, oh, sorry, we're getting absolutely hammered. Well, I thought it was fine. Pizza was a wee bit cold, but what can you do? You know, it is what it is. You have to make chicken salad and chicken shit. So I was sitting thinking to myself, bet you every single delivery takeaway is getting hammered and the drivers are making an absolute fortune. So I was severely tempted to take up a job as a delivery driver, but we'll see how it goes. I'm enjoying drinking too much, to be honest with you, although I'm on a wee bit of a detox, so we'll see how it's going. Anybody else having a hard time homeschooling? I've seen a couple of good memes, but in fairness, my wee man's not that much of a spastic, so he's picking stuff up quite well. And the online stuff, like BBC Bite Size, things like that. And then all the way online, think, you know, games for kids and stuff like that, add and subtract them. He's actually been pretty dead on with it. Now, I never understood the patience it takes and is required to be a teacher / classroom assistant. Oh my goodness. Imagine trying to have a classroom filled with like 20 plus of them all talking to each other. I actually feel sorry for my teachers, because I wasn't a dick when I was a kid, but I definitely would have been fell into the category of class clown. But the amount of patience you need, and because it comes second nature to us, you automatically expect them to know it. But it definitely is an underappreciated art form, and I can see why, particularly females, by, you know, at the end of the year, they get their teachers wee presents, candles and wine and prosecco or whatever, but I can definitely understand now why they all go and buy the teachers them. They definitely deserve it. So they do, but homeschooling for us has been pretty dead on. One thing we actually haven't done that much of is PE, but he does enough exercise, so he'd be grand. And what about old Boris getting coronavirus, COVID-19? Couldn't have happened to a nicer fucking twat, if you ask me. you know, sitting, I was wondering, do you think if Theresa May had been in power, it would have been a different scenario? Or if Jeremy Corbyn had have been elected, would it have been a different scenario? Because a lot of people are saying he's not reacting quick enough or doing this enough. But some of the figures are starting to show a decrease in the rate that it was expanding. It's starting to go down now. Obviously, we're still a long way away. You know, we need to stay in. But if somebody else was in power, do you think that they could have done a better job than what he's doing? I know a lot of the NHS staff and, you know, people here working at the minute aren't getting, or they don't have the resources for the PPE, personal protection equipment. So I'm wondering, could it be managed better? Or if we are starting to show a small decline, that it actually is working, and he was right not to just go to a complete lockdown like other countries are, you know, you can't leave the house. In Russia, if you leave the house, so I think they went on either, I think it was a 15-day lockdown. I know a lot of places are doing 21. I think they've done 15 complete lockdown. And you know the Russians, they do not mess about. Zero tolerance. If you're caught outside the house in Russia, 5-day mandatory sentence. That's one way to handle the crisis, should you need to go that far. But thankfully, we haven't got that far yet. And as I said, there is some decline, so it's shown it's starting to work. But obviously, the symptoms do take a while to flag up in your system. So if it's going to be end of this week, start of next week, we might see a big increase. But hopefully, touch wood, hopefully, we'll all come through it here in a couple of weeks and we'll get back to normal. I know a lot of people are saying you may be in this state of June, but if we keep doing what we're doing, I would imagine that it's going to be okay. So obviously, with everybody being locked in, I have been perusing through Netflix. You can't beat Life of Brian. If you're looking for something to cheer you up, stick on the Monty Python film, Life of Brian. Oh, I laugh in anticipation of the jokes coming up. It's like whenever I tried to rewatch Phoenix Nights, I know I said this before. I tried to rewatch Phoenix Nights, and I couldn't because I just kept laughing, and the person I was trying to watch with was like, do you know what? I don't want to do this no more. You're laughing too much. I can't hear anything. So I'd either recommend Phoenix Nights or Life of Brian if you want something cheerful to watch. Or if you're looking something a bit more serious, The Dark Side of the Moon, or sorry, Dark Side of the Ring. It's a wrestling documentary on Chris Benoit and his murder-suicide. It's a two-part episode. To be honest with you, it's nothing that I hadn't already sort of seen or knew from YouTube, but there's a good wee part with his son and his sister-in-law at the end of it, which was quite heartwarming. And I think it was all sort of a Chris Jericho idea. He was narrating it and stuff. Him, Chavo, and Dean Malenko. The three of them, obviously, I think they all work with All Elite now, not WWE, hence why they were able to do it. But they definitely told the story a bit more, you know, in depth. But you can tell that they're sad because they've lost a friend. They don't want to glorify what he done, but the person that done that to them wasn't Chris Benoit. You know, obviously, with the CTE, a lot of it, I think they put that down to him. And another thing, the trigger, like a big, big trigger, was the passing of Eddie Guerrero. So I think it just sort of all came to a head, and then bang, it all went south from there. If you're looking something to make you laugh and go what the fuck at the same time, Tiger King. What the actual fuck is Tiger King about? You knew from the start it was going to be mad beyond words, and mad beyond words is the only way that I can describe it. It's about people who raise tigers in America, and they are bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. You need to go and watch it. Just take, we done it all in one day. I think it's 7 episodes. They're all about 45 to 50 minutes an episode. But this all started from a guy, really, who was trying to get shut down from this animal rescue, Big Cat Rescue it's called. It's a girl in Florida, who I hate, by the way. She's an absolute hypocrite. But she rescues big cats and puts them in a cage, whatever. And apparently it's okay for her to do it and get volunteers. But the difference being, she doesn't let like people pet them or anything like that. She just sort of leaves them and lets the animals do what they want to do. But there's one, she's trying to get these petting zoos and like, yeah, that's what it is. It's like tiger zoos. And the girl's Caroline Baskin is trying to get two main ones shut down, but one of the guys is just eccentric as fuck. You need to see his shirt. He's a mullet. He's his hair dyed blonde. And oh my god, he had two husbands in one stage. And this, you cannot, it starts out as a documentary about him, Joe Exotic, and you can probably understand, and I'm waffling here because is he trying to put it in order or comprehend what way where you should start? It is almost impossible. It's just chaos. So Joe has this thing out against Carl because she wants to shut him down. So he takes a dick, and it's basically it's a slanderer match for years. And this producer comes in and says, I'll do a reality-based TV show for you. And he's going to sell the rights, obviously. And Joe says, Jim, you can do it if you produce my online TV show. So he has his own wee studio and he does videos and puts it online. And I think the director brings a lot more quality to it and sort of goes up a bit. But there's so many plot twists, and then other people get involved, and the FBI get involved, and one stage one of his husbands dies, and he gets married again in 2 months after his husband dies. It's absolute madness. So it is. And he gets the mother of the deceased husband at the wedding so they can take a photo with her, put it online. Everybody thinks, oh, she must be alright with it. Doesn't speak to her again. Absolute craziness. Go and watch it. Try and knock it all out one day. Take a wee break in between. I think we got to episode 5 and then we were like, right, we need to go and do something here. We need to try and compose our thoughts on what all this is happening here. But go and watch it. It is, it's just crazy. Absolute crazy. Something else is crazy. Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov is off for the 5th fucking time. Russia obviously put people on lockdown. Khabib cannot leave. So Dana was trying to do everything in his power. I think he was trying to get Khabib to leave and go to UAE, United Arab Emirates. And I think they were going to try and have the fight there. But because America's starting to lock down, Russia's locked down, I actually think the Emirates are starting to lock down as well. They can't do the fight. 5 times it's tried to be booked, and 5 times this has been cancelled. So Dana was trying to get the ultimate mega card. For any people who aren't really UFC fans, they have what's called International Fight Week. It's the first weekend of July, and it's always based around the 4th of July weekend. And they're just trying to do the biggest card then. But he's trying to get as many people going as possible. And for me, this would be my 5 main card fights that I would like to see. So, and these are no particular order, by the way. I don't care who's the main event or whatever. But I would like to see, obviously keep Tony Ferguson on it and put him up against Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje's number 2 ranked. Tony Ferguson's number 1. Tony was the interim champion, got the belt taken off him. So I would like to see that fight. But Gaethje says he will not take a fight on short notice. I think he's full of crap because he had said that he would train and be the fall guy for that. So now that it's happened, step up. I would also like to see Jorge Masvidal versus Kamaru Usman. That would be a very, very good fight, I think. But I think Usman wins it. I also think Tony wins the other one. Next one, probably the fight that I want to see most. Colby Covington against Tyrone Woodley. These boys just genuinely have a disdain for one another and do not like one another. That, to me, I think would be an absolutely amazing fight. I'd actually nearly put that as the headliner. Next fight would be Henry Cejudo against Cody Garbrandt. Realistically, it's not going to happen, but that, I think, would be another good fight. Obviously, Henry Cejudo has that 135-pound title. He took it off TJ Dillashaw. TJ took it off Cody. And they're debating whether TJ Dillashaw was taking PEDs at the time because he popped afterwards. So he may very well have been taking the EPO then. Last but not least, it'd actually be a really good fight to open the card. Francis Ngannou against Rozenstruik. Just two guys, knockout artists that just want to stand there and bang and punch the hair clean off each other. I can't see that one making a pass round one, to be honest with you. So to me, that would be my card. Do that. That's trying to be as realistic as possible with the people in the US where they could try and do it. If you like the show, guys, please, please, please go to YouTube, iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review. It takes 2 seconds, and you wouldn't believe how much it helps the show. So, cheers, thanks very much for listening, and I've had enough of all your shits.